Kaž mi tvoj mobil, ktorý vlastne on má, ja to budem všetky.
God bless you, saints, this evening. Amen. If brother can find song is go tell on tell it on the mountains. Amen. Yeah, mom, please. Maybe we can sing just two songs, and it looks like song worship will be a little bit shorter, and we would like to ask Brother Wilmo to see if he can open the word of prayer just after second song. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds kept their watching over the silent by night. Behold, out in the heaven, there's some holy light. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled all about the earth. Rang out the angels' chorus that hail the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he. Let's talk about Jesus. Once more, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's all the world proclaim the power and majesty of such a wondrous name. The babe of Bethlehem, the bright and morning star. Let's sing his praises near and far. Let's talk about Jesus. The bread of life is he, the Savior of the world, the man of Galilee, the prophet, priest, and king, the mighty God is he. Let's turn a living water free. Let's talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace is he, the great physician too, down from all history, the lily pure and white, the rose of Sharon Bay, the shepherd of such tender can. Let's talk about Jesus, the Rock of Ages, He, the Lord of Lords, is He, of Galilee, the prophet, priest, and king, the mighty God is He, the well of living water.
Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight, Lord, for your graces and your mercies, Lord, that are renewed unto us every morning. Father, we are so thankful that, Lord, we have come to this junction in time where, Lord, we are right now, Lord, commemorating your birth once more, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the gift of Christmas. Lord, as the world goes about, Lord, in commercialization and in riotous living, Father, at this time, grant us grace, Father, to enter into the true spirit of Christmas. Lord, even through this service, we want to commit it into your hands, asking, Father, that you may speak unto our hearts, Lord, and bring us into that presence, O God. Grant grace unto every brother, every sister, every family that's connected tonight. We commit them into your hands. Bless our brother, Lord, who's leading us in song tonight. May you continue to use him, Father, to bring us to that state where you want us to be, Lord, when the ministering of the word comes. We commit, Lord, the minister to you. Use him, Father, tonight, Lord, to bring more and more light unto thy children. We commit the service into your hands as we ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I don't know if Brother Satis could manage to put the song Hark, the Herald's Angel Sing. Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I can't get it to you now. Maybe we should sing. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the fullness of the thousands. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of the thousands. Everybody ought to
the Lord. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Through Jesus.
Amen, brother. Will you find silent tonight?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round your virgin mother and thee. Holy infant, so tender and mild, receiving heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds pray, ever sigh, glory stream from the heavens afar. Heavenly hope, sing hallelujah. Christ, Savior is born. Christ, the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, God's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face, where the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, in thy breath. Jesus, Lord, in thy breath. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright, on your virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Down from his ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my bread, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator. He became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelled in him. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faith broke inside. God gracious, stand up, lay aside this splendor, stopping to root, to ring, to sing my song. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my bread, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator. He became my Savior, and on God's holies, telling me, without reluctance, flesh and blood, his substance, he drank there for me. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of love. And now I know the Father will die. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. My bread, my sunshine, my hope in all. The great Creator, he became my Savior, and all God's fullness fell in him. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my red, my sunshine, my love in all. The great Creator, he became my Savior, and on God's goodness dwelled in him. Oh, Master, we are here to praise you. We are here to praise you, Lord. To lift our hands and sing, we are here to give you our love, rising from our hearts. Everything within us cries, I love you, I love you, Lord. We are here to praise you, Lord, to lift our hands and sing. We are here to give you, Lord, the best that we can bring. Bringing you our love, rising from above. Everything within us cries, I love you. I love you, Lord. One more. You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You are great, you the miracle so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you. You are great. You're the miracle so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You are great. You're the miracle so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You're the miracle so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Thank you, Brother Vlad. Thank you, Sister Lydia, who was playing the keyboard there. Thank you, the piano. God bless you this evening, saints. Welcome to our evening service. Good to see everybody who's joined in, each and every one of you, saints. God bless you. Maybe we can stand straight away to open our Bibles and we can open in a word of prayer. Let's open our scripture to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. Should be a familiar scripture. Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. Let's take a thought from there this evening. And may the Lord lead us in the way that he'd have us to go. Good to see Brother Daniel there and Brother Junior. God bless you, saints. Good to see everybody else who's joining, those saints that are on YouTube. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Some wonderful names. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, just to approach unto thee upon this evening, Lord, to give everything into your hands. Guide us now in your word, we pray. Father, may you open up to us the door, Father, to admit us in to the glories of fellowship with you in your word. Father, we long to worship you in spirit and in truth. As we thank you for song worship, we thank you for the songs that have been sung. Now, Father, we need your grace, Lord. We need your mercy to guide us and lead us, both the speaker and, Father, each of the hearers, Lord. Everybody in their homes, wherever they would be, we want to pray for them upon this evening, your grace and your mercy upon them. Them that have traveled, be it them, be it Brother Ellie and his family in Waterford, bless them, give them a wonderful Christmas down there, Lord. But, Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come to you. We want to look to you. Father, take everything under your control, we pray, and guide us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, saints. You may be seated there. God bless you. Thought maybe just to have a little bit of fellowship around the word this evening, as we coming up to Christmas Eve, coming to Christmas time. We know, obviously, the days and the months and the season isn't right. We know that, but it's still a wonderful thing to think about Christmas. There's something really special about Christmas. And I just thought maybe we could fellowship a little bit around this Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And just taking the very first thing when Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah was caught up in the spirit, caught the mind of the Lord. And he looked 700 years forward and he saw Christmas. And he came down from that heavenly realm and he prophesied. And we know the Bible said the prophets never spoke of themselves, but they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And he spoke, and as he spoke this prophecy that he says, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Let's just take that name this evening. The prophet, in the message, he speaks of it. I think it's in the message, Show Us the Father. And he says, each of those titles, he says, you could take each of those and spend a lot of time on each of those titles. And he says, and we actually ought to do it, he says, because there's something wonderful. Because when we think of the names of the Lord, when we say that his name shall be called Wonderful, that was the very first name that was prophesied that Jesus would be called. Why is it important? What does the name of the Lord represent to us if his name is going to be called Wonderful? The names of the Lord are different than names of people in this life, because the name of the Lord, in whichever way he reveals it, is a real thing. God's name is his essence. God's name is his presence. It's his nature. And when the Lord wants to reveal something to you, when you have a need, he reveals that name to you. And with that name comes an anointing. With that name comes a power, comes a revelation. And when you enter into the experience, the fellowship of that name, you receive whatever that name speaks of. And we know that when Joseph was wondering about Mary and she was pregnant and he was thinking privately to put her away, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him and said, "Fear not, Joseph, thou son of David, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, because that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins." And we know the name Jesus means Jehovah Savior. It means the Savior. Now, friends, that's the wonderful thing about the Lord and his names. When the Lord reveals one of his names, he's showing his willingness. He's giving you an invitation to experience that name. So if you're sick tonight and he's already revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, and if you can enter into fellowship with him in that name, you'll be healed, because within that name, Jehovah Rapha is healing. If you are troubled and tossed about, or you're depressed, whatever that it is this evening, if you can enter in fellowship, experience the essence of that name, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, you're going to find it's going to bring a massive difference inside of your life. And when we were dead in sin and trespasses, when you were in the world, you were separated from God, alienated, darkened in your understanding, when you were on your way to hell, like the prophet says, on your way to a sinner's grave and to hell, he came and revealed his name to you. And the name that he revealed to you was the name Jesus, which means Jehovah Savior. And as he revealed that name to you and you caught what that name was, it brought an experience. It brought a fellowship, a communion. And with that communion and that fellowship, it brought about a change. And all that is contained in that name, Jesus, well, you tapped into a portion of it at that time. And that name, Jesus, changed you from death to life, changed you from light, from darkness into light. That is the power of his name. And that's why I'm saying, whenever the Lord reveals a name in the Bible, he's giving you an invitation. This is his attributes that he's revealing. He doesn't want you just to know his name academically or know his name historically, to say, "You know, I know there was somebody called Jesus and he lived 2,000 years ago." He wants you to know him by that name. He wants you to know the name Jesus. Yeah, when you know the name Jesus, you'll know it because you'll be saved, because you will know that truth. And that truth will make you free. So the names of the Lord are, they're real. There's an essence. There's a life. There's an anointing. There's an unction inside of it, because this is part of God that is expressing. And friends, that's the wonderful thing about his name. It can lead you into the experience of what he's trying to reveal to you. And I'm sure at Christmas time now, as we have a look at this name, Wonderful. This was the name that the prophet gave that Jesus would be when he was born. When Isaiah looked forward and he saw Christmas time coming, he says, this son, this child that is going to be given, this son that is going to be born, he's going to be Wonderful. That's going to be his name. He's going to be called Wonderful. Now that word Wonderful is a real powerful word. It's the name Pele, brother Pele's name. That's what it means. It means wonderful. And when it speaks about wonderful, it means something to marvel at, a marvelous thing. something which is extraordinary, something which is outstanding, something which causes a sense of great amazement. And wonderful always speaks of things beyond human capability. So when I was speaking about Jesus, when I was speaking about the Son, this child being born, the angel, the Holy Ghost revealed to Isaiah that this child, this Son that's going to be born, he's going to be full of wonder. You know, he's going to be beyond anything which human beings can be or human beings can do. And in the scriptures, this word wonder, when it's spoken, it always speaks of God's works or God's words. It's never anything to do with human beings, because the real wonder is only in him. Only he is truly wonderful. So when it's speaking, you think of what wonderful means. You know, we've been singing the song, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. No sense, I would really, really say at a Christmas time like this, you want that to be a living experience inside of your life. Now, is Jesus wonderful to you? What does Jesus mean to you? When you hear the name Jesus, what does it do to you? If it does nothing to you, you haven't entered into this reality, this essence of this name, wonderful. Because this name should inspire awe. It's like the prophet in Greatest Battle Ever Fought, when he's out looking at God in the universe and he sees all the stars in the heavens, and he says in Greatest Battle, he says, and a great awe came over me. A great wonder. When he looked at God's creation, God in his creation, there was like an amazement. You just get overawed. You say, wow, this is so mighty. This is so powerful. That is what it is when something is wonderful. It gives you that sense of amazement. That's what it is to really have something as wonderful. And there's something inside of each and every one of us. God made us, a deep inside of us, that we thirst for that which is wonderful. Now, there's a deep inside of us. There's a hunger inside of us for something which is beyond just what man can do. There's something inside of us thirsting for that something that can really bring an awe into your life. That something can really do something to you. And God, he did that in his creation. And here we see God was going to do the same thing in his Son when Jesus was born. And when those magi, I can imagine them, when they looked up in the heavens that evening and they saw this new star burst forth in the heavens, you know, there was a spiritual dimension to that. And they entered into wonder. Now, it must have really overawed them when they looked in the heavens that evening and they saw that, oh, wow. And they saw what the star signified, that he is born King of the Jews. And friends, that experience they had, that wonder, that amazement which they had in that, it completely changed their lives, as we said the other week. There was a deep in them always looking for something. And now they experienced something at that first Christmas. And it was amazing when they looked at that star and they realized what that star signified. This was a wonderful thing to them. And they were willing to leave home, willing to take great sacrifice, willing to take of the best they had and go and find him and worship him. And that's what the wonder of Jesus should do for us. Now, if you want to know if anybody's ever seen Jesus as being wonderful, you just have to look at the fruits inside of their lives. If it's difficult for you to even sing to him, you need a fresh revelation of his wonder, fresh revelation of his glory. Now, because when wonder strikes a person, what follows wonder is worship. You'll find that in that early Christmas story, as soon as the great wonder dawned, the awe came upon them when they saw the star in heaven, what consumed them inside of their lives? I said, we've seen his star. Now we want to come and we want to worship him. Friends, and that's the thing which we need. No, worship is something which you can't force out of people. Worship is the response to something. Just as much as love, we love him because he first loved us. If someone doesn't love the Lord, you can't teach them to love the Lord. You can't indoctrinate somebody into loving the Lord. Loving the Lord is the natural response to a revelation of his love for you. When you taste of the love of God for you, it's a natural response inside of you that you love him back. We love him because he first loved us, the Bible says. And worship is the natural result of when he reveals even an aspect of himself to you, that his name shall be called Wonderful. When you see how wonderful Jesus is, no matter how you feel, no matter how tired you are, no matter what you're going through inside of your life, you want to worship him. There's something that wonderful, that wonder that's in him ministers to the deep that's inside of you. And from the deep inside of you, you want to bring forth from your treasures, like the Magi, your gold, your frankincense, your myrrh, whatever gift that it is, you want to present something to him in worship. And friends, that's really the blessed thing about these names of the Lord. If you can reveal those names to us, because like I say, wonder always brings forth worship. It always brings forth some kind of a response. And when we've lost our zeal, we've lost the essence of really giving a free will offering like the Magi did, even a sacrificial offering to the Lord, we need to come back for a fresh Christmas experience like they had in the beginning. We need to look to the Lord to say, Lord, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth, but I cannot do it of my own. I need you by your grace to open up my eyes that I might behold wonderful things again, that I might fellowship with you, because your prophet says your name is called Wonderful. Lord, just reveal yourself as being wonderful to me once again. Think back to when you first came to the Lord, friends, how wonderful Jesus was to you. You know, you just wanted to speak about him. You just wanted to think about him. You just wanted to sing about him. You just wanted to read about him. When he revealed himself to you in the days of your youth, when you had your Christmas day, when he was born into your heart, when heaven came down, peace on earth and goodwill among men, that was the experience you had. And it was revealed to you how wonderful Jesus was. Friends, you would get in a car and you would drive 4 or 5 hours to go for a meeting. Now you would sleep on the sofa in somebody's house because you wanted to be in the presence of this one that was wonderful. But the prophet says that the Ephesian church age, they lost that glory and that wonder. That's what he says in the church age book. They lost that essence they had in the beginning of Jesus being so wonderful to them. And now it started becoming a duty. And now they were still doing the same works, but they lost that essence of doing things from a soul. But the response inside of your heart, when the Lord once again has made known himself to you, that he is called Wonderful. Because friends, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the days of Isaiah, he said his name is called Wonderful. He's still wonderful today. He's still as wonderful as when you first met him. And if there's people here that you don't worship Jesus because, you know, or maybe you just follow a form or a tradition, Jesus is still wonderful. He's just as wonderful this Christmas as he was the first Christmas. He's never changed. He's just as wonderful as he ever was. And the prophet speaks about that. He says, that message, sirs, we would see Jesus. He says, let us strike the thought wonderful for a minute. He says, wonderful. He says his words were wonderful. He says his works were wonderful. So the prophet's giving us a key here that we can start looking at Jesus. Why did the prophet, when he looked at Jesus coming, the son being born, why did he straight away, the first thing that he said, his name is called Wonderful? Oh, friends, it would be something to think about. Because everything about Jesus is wonderful. To you as a believer, is there anything you've ever experienced or known about Jesus that is not wonderful? Let's be honest, saints. Let's be honest. Is he not wonderful? He's wonderful, friends. Everything about Jesus is wonderful. And if you've lost that wonder, you just need a fresh experience with him because he's always wonderful. He's wonderful. The first thing, let's have a look at, he was wonderful in his birth. That's what Isaiah was looking at when he was born. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Yeah, he was wonderful in his birth. Like we're saying, the Magi, they caught the wonder of it. They realized this is not something, this is something wonderful. This is something worth living and sacrificing for. You know, when they caught this revelation of the Son that was given in their day, they, for the first time, this wonder, this revelation of this child that had been born, for the first time inside of their lives, it brought sense and understanding and meaning to their lives and their studies that they've been involved in. Now, they'd been studying the heavens, they'd been studying all of these different things, studying the prophecies, but it took the star of wonder. You know, we sing that song, Star of Wonder, Star of Might. The prophet liked that song, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Now, there's Christmas songs like that. This was a star of wonder. When the heavens opened, when that seal, as we said the other day, broke that Christmas time, when something came forth from the heavens in that season, it struck certain people with wonder. And it caused them to do great exploits in that day, including these wise men. When they caught the wonder of who this child was going to be. What about the shepherds out in the fields? What does it say in Luke chapter 2? It says, Lord, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone down upon them. That's something to think about. And they were scared at first. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's you today and that's me. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, that's a wonderful thing, saints, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you a son is born, unto you a child is given, and his name shall be Wonderful. And when you realize this greatest gift, this most wonderful gift that was ever given, was when heaven opened up at Christmas time, and the very glory of heaven, the most wonderful, precious thing in heaven, came down from heaven into a stable, into a manger. That's what happened at Christmas. The most wonderful of all that was in heaven came down and was veiled in flesh. Don't we sing the song, veiled in flesh? You know, the Godhead was veiled now. The prophet says, little Jehovah, crying like a baby, little Jehovah being laid in a manger. There's the manure and all those things round and about. This was a powerful thing that was being done, friends. It was something that should inspire wonder in us. To say heaven opening and eternal life is coming down, being born of a virgin, laid in a manger in a stable. That's what happened that first Christmas, friends. It can be a nice Christmas story to us. And we enjoy hearing about it. But if you really think, what does that mean to you? That is when a son was given. That is when the child was born for you, the angel said. Christ our Lord, that is when the Savior came down. And so the angel now comes to these shepherds. And it strikes them with such wonder. You know, this awe that they have to realize, but wow, we stood in the glory of God. He revealed to us that today in the city of David, a child has been born, the Savior has been born. And they rushed, they hurried off from that place and said, let us go and see this which the angel told us of. And he gave them a sign and says, you're going to find this wonder wrapped in such humility, wrapped in such simplicity, is going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And when they came there, they found it exactly, and they came to worship. And then they went from there, and they started to testify and tell the people what the angel had told them. And the scripture says, and the people wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Like I said the other week, friends, you can never tell me those shepherds were ever the same after that. For the first time inside of their lives, they understood their lives. For the first time inside of their lives, they knew the Lord in the way that they could know the Lord. Before, they had believed and they knew about him historically, but something happened that came with such a wonder, such a glory, an experience that Christmas. It brought forth worship from them. It brought forth testimony from them. No one had to go and force them to testify about Jesus. That was a response to the wonder. They'd seen this child that had been given. They'd seen the son that had been born, exactly as the angel had told them. Friends, there's something about that. Now, the Lord admitted them into this mystery, like we said, the fellowship of the mystery of that first Christmas, and there was an experience there. And those shepherds would never have looked at themselves the same after that. They were the most low down, just about of all of society, the shepherds. But they realized now they were greatly esteemed in heaven, that heaven had condescended down to them, and God had revealed this most wondrous thing to them that first Christmas. They never would have looked at themselves the same, and they never would have looked at one another the same. They would have seen that we have been admitted together into this great wonder. We have a fellowship around a mystery that even the high priest knows nothing about. Friends, we said it the other week, Christmas is an experience. Christmas is real. That's what it's supposed to be. You can have Christmas every day of the week. You can come and you can worship him, this one that has been given, this one that is wonderful, any day of the week, any hour of the day. Now, the world puts it on a certain day and says, you know, and tries to determine, they get it all wrong like they normally do. But to a believer, you know what Christmas really means. You've had your Christmas experience. If you are born again, when he revealed himself to you, you are born anew. And a new life, that same life that came down from heaven, came down, was laid in a manger. That same bundle of eternal life that God sent down, that same eternal life was born in you. That's really what Christmas is all about. And friends, when that happened to you, when you were young in the faith, how wonderful that it was, how fresh that experience was, how you loved those gospel songs, how you loved his word. But friends, this world can weigh you down. The pressures of life, the complexity of the age, you know, the disappointments, the expectations, disappointments that surround you can start taking away that wonder. But I'd really say to you, my friend, each and every one of us this evening, don't let Christmas ever be a tradition to you. It should be something that's wonderful. And the prophet says, when we lose that wonder, when we lose our burden for the lost and so forth, we should come back to the altar. We should come back once again and say, Lord, renew that experience to me once again. Lord, reveal yourself as wonderful to me once again, that I might see you as wonderful the way that I used to see you as wonderful. Would that not be the greatest gift that God could give you this Christmas? If you don't know him, if you could have your Christmas. If you did know him, but you've lost it and it's become a tradition, it's become a duty, if you could just renew us at this Christmas and give us a fresh experience of how wonderful that he is. Because in everything, Jesus was wonderful. Think of how the wonder that came on Mary when the angel Gabriel came to her and says, you are highly favored among women. You shall conceive and bring forth a son, and he shall be the Messiah, that holy thing born of you. Friends, and she said, how can this thing be? And in the presence of that angel, that experience when the word was spoken to her, she started to see Isaiah's prophecy completely different than before. She knew it from the Bible. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Now she started to see herself there. When she saw Isaiah 9 verse 6, unto you a son, unto you a child is given. For the first time, she started to see that as something real, something rich, and something that appertained to her, something that had a bearing upon her own life. And I pray that with all my soul, friends, at a Christmas time like this, that all the people that have lost the wonder of it, all the people that haven't been admitted into this great fellowship of how wonderful Jesus really is, that this would be the season that the Lord would speak to the deep inside of you, and that you would seek him, you would respond to him and say, yes, Lord, this world is not wonderful to me. You alone are wonderful. Reveal the wonder, the glory of it once again to me. And may the Lord really restore us to that once again. Now, to Mary, the first Christmas was wonderful. It was a time of wonder. You think of when she came to Elizabeth. It says that in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Oh, friends, that's a Christmas experience. When Christ was conceived in her, when she had that original Christmas experience, she says, "My soul does magnify the Lord, for he has done wonderful things to me." Ah, friends, has the Lord not done wonderful things for you inside of your life? You might have forgotten, but why not get in prayer? Why not go before the Lord in the quietness of things over this Christmas period and just start to thank the Lord for the things that he's done, for the paradox of salvation, for the glorious wonder of the new birth inside of your life? Ah, friends, these are things we just take lightly. But the prophet says the new birth is a paradox. It's something incredible but true, that God can change the nature of a person. That before you were his enemy, you were fighting God, you were dead in sin and trespasses. And then in a wonderful way, he reveals himself to you. And the prophet said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that brings the new birth. He says it's not creeds or commandments or threatening people. He says it's that revelation of the love of God. That's the thing that changes you from death to life. And Mary had such an experience that time. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Our friends, don't you want a fresh time that your soul rejoices in the Lord your God? Don't you want a fresh time where your spirit, yeah, where your spirit rejoices in God your Savior? May the Lord grant that to us. That's the real Christmas experience. That is what he revealed his name for, as wonderful, so that we can have a fresh partaking of that name. Our friends, what about that first Christmas at his birth? We're speaking about his birth was wonderful. These angels now at his birth. In Luke chapter 2, when the angel now spoke to the shepherds, and it says in verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men.'" What was happening on earth was wonderful to the angels. They said, "This is wonderful. Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill towards men." They realized this one that's been born, this child, he's wonderful. If the people can just understand how wonderful this is, that this child is being born, they'll also give glory to God, because they'll start to realize it's peace on earth. This is God giving us a gift of peace, of goodwill towards men. Oh, friends, that's what he is. That's why the prophet Isaiah said, he's wonderful. The angels in heaven, friends, we know Jesus, he was Melchizedek before, he's the Logos. He was always the most wonderful thing in heaven. Yeah. Out of everything in heaven, he was always the most wonderful. And now the angels, they see this wonderful one from heaven condescending down from eternity, coming down into time, humbling himself. We were singing that song, "Down from His Glory." Such condescension. He humbled himself. You know, the most glorious in heaven, he humbled himself down, and he came down into a virgin's womb, and he was born in a stable and laid in a manger. And the angels knew what was taking place. They saw eternal life is no longer in heaven. Eternal life is on earth now. Because nobody before Jesus came and was born, the wonderful one, and came and died, none of the Old Testament saints entered yet into eternal life. They all went down to paradise. They couldn't enter into the glories of the kingdom of heaven, because he that was wonderful hadn't yet come down to do his wonderful work. Oh, friends, and that's wonderful. When Jesus was born, it was wonderful what God did. This is a wonderful gift. I hope that each and every one of the children listening today, you get wonderful presents from your parents. You know, I just pray you really get wonderful presents, that your parents give each other wonderful presents. But friends, the presents that you and I give are nothing compared to how wonderful the gift is that God gave to you and God has offered to me. And that is the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that's why the angels, they rejoiced when they saw this. They saw these people have been living under the law. These people have been living under condemnation. These people, there's been a veil between them and God. But look at this now. God above us has become Emmanuel. He's become God with us. And they said, this is wonderful. And they started to rejoice, saying, glory to God in the highest. And the message, why shepherds? The prophet says, this angel choir, he calls it, they sung to the shepherds the first Noel. That's how I said, wonder is always followed by worship. When the angels saw what was taking place, they saw the eternal coming down and taking on a body of flesh, being laid in swaddling clothes in a manger. It was wonderful to them. They said, this is so powerful what's taking place. If only the people of the earth would realize what Jehovah is doing, what Jehovah is giving to them. And that's why they started to worship. This angelic choir started to sing now. The prophet says you always have choirs singing at the birth of a king. And here was an angelic choir, not a human choir. He goes on to say this is the first time that angels ever sung to human beings. Angels came and sung to people. Oh, friends, and we struggle to sing to the Lord. Yet he sent angels to come and sing to us, to try to show us that, oh, you people, if you could realize how wonderful this is that I'm doing on this Christmas. Oh, friends, he's really wonderful. The prophet says angels had never sung to human beings before, but they understood how wonderful this child was. They understood how wonderful this gift from heaven truly was. Yet the religious people didn't. Caiaphas didn't. The Pharisees didn't. The people in Jerusalem didn't. They didn't know this wonderful thing that God was doing. But the angel came and revealed it to shepherds and came and revealed it to the Magi. Came and revealed it now to Zacharias and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna. And they realized we are living in a wonderful time because God has done a wonderful thing in our day. Oh, friends, the angels in the Old Testament, they announced the birth of people. No, the angel came and announced the birth of Samson, remember, to Manoah and his wife. And Gabriel came and announced the birth of John the Baptist and so forth. But here, friends, is something so far beyond that. Here's not just an angel coming down and saying, you're going to have a son, don't cut his hair, don't let him drink or eat of the fruit of the vine. He'll start to deliver his people, Samson. That was just a shadow of what took place at Christmas. Here it was, the entire angelic host came down and they came to worship, to sing to people, to try to show people the glory and wonder of what was taking place in Bethlehem that first Christmas. Now I bring it back to you again, my friend, personally. What does Jesus mean to you? Now, when you think about it today, what does Jesus mean to you? You might say, no, I like Jesus. I appreciate it. I'm sure he died for my sins, friends. That's good. But you need a real experience of Christmas to move beyond that kind of a thing. Now, for you to really worship him the way that he's really worthy to be worshipped, may the Lord grant each and every one of us a fresh vision of the King in his glory. May the Lord grant us a fresh experience, a deeper experience like Paul, he so desired it for the church. He prayed, he says, I pray that the Lord would open up the eyes of your understanding, that you may know these unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, friends, and they stored up in his word. God has already revealed the name Wonderful, showing he wants us to enter into the fellowship with him around this name, Wonderful. He wants us to experience once again how wonderful he is. Otherwise, he wouldn't have revealed that name. Just as much as if he had never revealed himself as Jesus, We wouldn't know that salvation was available to us. But ever since Jesus was born and his name Jesus was given to him, God was witnessing from heaven that the door to salvation is open to whosoever will let him come. Because God doesn't reveal the name without wanting you for you to experience that name. Our friends, I desire this Christmas time a greater experience of how wonderful Jesus is. That's what I desire. That'd be the greatest gift that I could ever ask the Lord. Lord, reveal. Remember, Moses said it to the Lord. He says, Lord, show me your glory. He says, Lord, I can't go up with these people. These people are in trouble. The journey will be too long. The desert will be too hot. The temptations will be too great. But if you will show me your glory, then I'll go. And the Lord says, I'll show you my glory. Put him in the cleft of a rock. Showed him the back part of a man. Friends, to you and I, is not just the back part of a man anymore. Friends, we can see him face to face. Yeah? His face shining with the glory of God. What a great thing that it is. Let's just skip on as we'd wind things down. So here, when the angels came down, now normally the angels would just tell people, like to Zechariah, Gabriel said, your son is going to be a prophet of the Most High, shall prepare people for the coming of the Lord. But these angels that came down to the shepherds and sent them, they ushered them to worship. They said, go, find him, go and worship him. You don't have to wait 9 months for him to be born. You can worship him now. You can find him that is wonderful tonight, he told them. And friends, they said, what good is us looking after our sheep? All these other things, we can lay them aside for a season. Let us go and find him that is called Wonderful. And they went and they found him, friends. And what an experience that must have been inside of their lives. The prophet says the first time angels ever sung at a celebration was in heaven. Eternal life was in heaven. He says when God planned on making his first creation, the earth. Job 38, verse 7. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He says, when the sons of God shouted for joy. The prophet says, the angels worshipped when God planned on making his mortal creation, the earth. The angels looked down. They said, this is wonderful. He's making an earth. He's making a mortal creation. And the angels rejoiced in heaven. My, how much more now when the angels see that heaven has come down to earth now. That the very one, because the Bible says all things were created through Jesus, through him. The very one who created the heavens and the earth had now condescended down into a manger in Bethlehem. The angels were saying, this is the most wondrous thing. This is profound. Eternal life has come down among men. Men can have eternal life. Oh, friends, that's what happened at that first Christmas. The prophet says the first time angels ever sang at a celebration was in heaven, but the first time they ever sang on earth was to shepherds at the birth of God. They sang in heaven when there was the mortal creation, but now there was the new creation coming forth. Now here was the first son being born, the Son of God. But he wasn't going to stay by himself. The Bible says he was going to bring many sons to glory. Eternal life was now opening to man. The angels realized the season that they were in. And they came and they sang to men and said, you are blessed people here on earth. If you can understand what this Christmas really means. We'll skip a little bit there. So he came down. The prophet says he was now creating a new life at Christmas. Eternal life for man. Friends, what could be a greater gift than eternal life? You tonight, wheresoever you are, do you possess eternal life tonight? Do you? If you don't possess eternal life, God sent angels down to declare, to sing to you. God revealed his name, Wonderful, to show access. God came down and said, his name shall be Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. It's not as if heaven is unwilling to give you eternal life. It's just that you're not willing to receive. The Bible says now are we the sons of God. It says his spirit bears record with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does his spirit bear record with your spirit this evening? Do you know that you are a child of God? If not, friends, let this be a real Christmas to you. Don't let it be an intellectual something. Don't let it be something that you just reasoned yourself into. There's the real Christmas experience for you, where he will come into you, when the Spirit of God will come right into your soul, into your manger, and he will bear record with your spirit that you now are a child of God. Paul says, John says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Friends, we love his word. We love to worship him. How do you know you pass from death to life? Because there's eternal life inside of you. And that eternal life loves the word. That eternal life loves his presence. That eternal life loves worship. Friends, if you've never experienced that, if your belief in Jesus is just an intellectual something, I would really, really persuade you this Christmas time, seek him while he may be found. Say, Jesus, I'm desiring a real Christmas experience. I want something that I can really see how wonderful that you are. Do something inside of me that I might really bring forth. Worship the way that they worshiped that first Christmas. And friends, why would he hold it back from you? So friends, his birth, it was wonderful. What was his birth? Maybe you'll see it on Sunday. Emmanuel. Here was the Godhead uniting with manhood. My. That is a wonderful thing. Here's heaven and earth uniting themselves together in Bethlehem. That's why the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. Because God has come down as a man. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, friends, that's something to think about. Wow, that's something really to think about. His birth was the most outstanding. That's why go and look on your calendar today. It'll tell you December the 24th, which year? 2021. What is 2021 telling you? 2021 years ago, Christmas came. 2021 years ago, a child was born. A son was given. Even the calendar testifies to it. And when you go back into history gone by, you number it by BC, before Christ, before the day that he was born. Friends, everything in human history hinges around that Christmas day when God and sinners were reconciled. We'll see it as the beginning of it. So his birth was wonderful. Now let's skip through and finish off. Let's think of a few more things. His life was wonderful. That's why the angel said his name shall be called Wonderful. Is there anything you can read of when you read about Jesus in the Bible that wasn't wonderful? It's wonderful. Feeding 5,000 is wonderful. Forgiving the woman caught in adultery was wonderful. Yeah. Going to a stormy, on a boat on a stormy sea to go to one soul crying out in the tombs of Legion to go and set the captives free. That was wonderful. His entire life, it was wonderful. Friends, I think sometimes we don't spend enough time really, really reading about Jesus. Everything else falls short. Every one of the prophets, right from Adam all the way to the prophet out there, is but a shadow of Christ. It's but a reflection of him. We are but the moon. He is the sun. That is what it is. All the prophets were but a measure of him, but the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Christ Jesus. He's the fullness. He's not a prophet of God. He's the God of the prophets. And that is the wonder about Christmas, is that great one, that great eternal one, the glory of heaven, came down and was crying in a manger the first Christmas. God had hidden himself in such a simplity. But when Isaiah saw it, he said, he's wonderful. If people can understand what's taking place, it's wonderful. That's why his name is called Wonderful. He's wonderful in all of his words. Whatever God does is good, friends. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, when God finished up everything, it says, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. God doesn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make any half works. He who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He doesn't make anything which he doesn't intend to be a masterpiece. And what was the greatest of all the masterpieces that he made was when God became a man. Here was the masterpiece, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, friends, he really is wonderful. He was wonderful in his works. He was wonderful in his words. Was he not? Look at Jesus. Go and see the things that he said. They're profound. They're exactly what's needed to minister to the fallen human condition. Everything you needed. His word, when he speaks to you, it's wonderful. It's exactly what you need. What does it say about him when look at the different people the prophet uses this. And look what people said about Jesus. Look at his words. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Hey, friends, his word is wonderful. John 7, 46. The officers answered, never a man spoke like this man. Ha ha, friends. And you want to spend all your time on YouTube and all your time on Facebook. There's nothing wonderful there. Here's where the wonder is. Never a man spake like this man. And when he speaks to you, it feeds your soul. When he speaks to you, it's light upon your path. Luke 4, verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Oh, friends, he's wonderful. What about the testimony of people about his life? His life was wonderful. What did Judas say at the end? I have sinned in that I've betrayed innocent blood. He knew this man is innocent. The thief on the cross says, we indeed are justly suffering, but this man has done nothing amiss. This man did nothing wrong. Anybody who had anything in them could recognize he's wonderful, this man. He's beyond just a normal man. He's beyond just what mortality can bring forth. He's something that's wonderful. What did Pilate's wife say to Pilate? Have nothing to do with this just man, because I've been troubled greatly by a dream about him this afternoon. This just man, and Pilate himself, he recognized there was something wonderful about this man. Pilate said to the chief priest, I find no fault in this man. I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. Friends, why do you want to focus your attention on anybody else? Is there anything else in this life that could ever satisfy an immortal soul save this one that is wonderful, Jesus? Is there any words that could ever compare with his words? He that speaks to you, is there anything sweeter inside of your life than when he speaks to you? That's why in the Song of Solomon, the bride, she says, the voice of my beloved. There's nothing sweeter than when he speaks to your soul. Is there anything greater than the presence of this wonderful one? When you get into his presence, already eternity has begun inside of your life. You never want to leave that place because he's wonderful, friends. The prophet says his name shall be wonderful. And every single one of us that are Christians this Christmas time will testify the same thing. His name is wonderful. He is wonderful. His words are wonderful. His works are wonderful. Look inside of your own life. Has his works inside of your life not been wonderful? You may not have understood along the way, but when you saw the end result, because he does all things well, you recognize and you know he is wonderful. His works are wonderful. He who began the work will finish it in a wonderful way if you'll just allow him to work inside of your life. Oh, friends, his words, his works, all the different things we could speak of. But let's finish off with this one. He was wonderful in his death. His death was wonderful. If you're thinking of the word wonderful, to mean to make people amazed, to fill people with awe, to say, wow. By the effects of some, that's what wonder is. When you say, wow, his death was wonderful. Ah, friends, here was the Lord of life himself. Imagine, hanging on a tree. Imagine his face going pale, his body stiffening up. He cried out and he gave up the ghost. Here was the Lord of life dying. The prophet says, here was God in his creation, by his creation, yeah? Dying for his creation. Here was the very Jesus that had spoken everything into existence. Here he was dying for his own creation. Friend, if that can just dawn on you and I, we will say, this is wonderful. This is profound. How can this be? Oh, friends, the prophet says, he died until the sun got ashamed of itself. The sun said, this is wonderful. How can this be? How can the Lord of life, how can his own creation nail him to a cross? How can he hang between the heavens and the earth? The sun said, this is too wonderful. And it turned its face and went dark in the midst of the day. It went dark, I think, from the, what, sixth hour to the ninth hour for 3 hours. The prophet says he died until the sun got ashamed of itself. He died until nature got ashamed and failed to operate. The earth shook. Great convulsions of an earthquake when he died. His death was wonderful, friends. Even nature realized this is something beyond human. Something profound is taking place here in his death. The sun went down in the middle of the day. The stars wouldn't come out. I'd imagine nature saying, let me die with him. Oh, friends, he's wonderful in everything that he does. His birth was wonderful, friends, and his death was wonderful. You say, how can his death be wonderful? Because let's think of the wonderful effects of his death. Oh, friends, think of the effects of the death of Christ. There was never a death that immediately when it took place, it was attended with such great results that took place. As soon as he died, think of what happened when Jesus died. What does it say in Matthew chapter 27? Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. He died. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two. From the top to the bottom. Imagine the results of this death were wonderful. Man was veiled from God. Man couldn't come into the eternal presence of God. Man couldn't enter into eternal life. There was a veil. But the moment this man, this one that Isaiah said, he's wonderful. When he died, there were such wonderful things took place. The veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And it says, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. Friends, straight away when he died, the graves were open. Ha ha. Think of this. Think of what his death, the wonderful things that his death immediately started to bring about. Somebody once said, his death touched sin. This is a person from many hundreds of years ago. I had this written down in my Bible. His death touched sin, and sin was cleansed. His death touched the curse, and the curse became a blessing. His death touched the grave, and the grave gave up its prisoners. Oh, friends, that's the power of the death of Christ. That when you believe that he died for you, and you accept that he died for me. Friends, how powerful is that? It was so powerful until even the Roman centurion, Mark 15:39. And the centurion saw, when he saw that he cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. He just knew there's something wonderful taking place, something astounding taking place here in this death. Nature testified of it. Man testified of it. Heaven testified of it. Hell testified of it. Paradise testified of it. Immediately when he died, the graves were opened. His death, continuing on reading, it touched the gates of paradise. When that power of his death struck paradise and opened up the doors of paradise, here came Adam, here came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here came all of the Old Testament prophets, all the elect, marching out of paradise, and his death opened the gates of heaven to them. Think of the power of the death of Christ, friends. That's why Isaiah said, he's wonderful. He's wonderful in every facet that you look at. There's so many we could look at. But we're just looking at these as we come to a close. We've been coming on to an hour now. We'll finish off. The Bible says, cursed is he that hangs on a tree. My, in his death he was cursed, but his curse became a blessing. Because he took the curse, we can now come to the tree on which he was cursed, and we can eat of the fruits of the cross of Calvary. What are those fruits? Pardon for sin, peace with God, joy, hope, victory, deliverance. We can partake of these fruits of blessing from this cursed tree because his death turns the curse into a blessing. Everything he does is wonderful. Every single thing he does. Think in your own life, my friend. When you were dead in sin and trespasses, when you were a candidate for hell, when Paul says you are by wrath, by nature, the children of disobedience, the children of wrath. That's what we all were. What happened? His death, the atoning power of his death struck us. And his death, when we were dead, brought us back to life once again. That's the power of his death. His death is wonderful. The Bible says, because he lives, we shall live also. Because he died and came out on the resurrection, we could look at that. His resurrection is wonderful. Because he lives, we shall live also. Our friends, I don't know about you, but I really do believe at Christmas time you need to worship Jesus. We need to understand what Christmas really is. We need to look like Isaiah and say, oh my, even with our limited understanding, even in the midst of the trials and the problems you go through, even if you can just catch a glimpse of the glory, we'll say, surely, Jesus, you're wonderful. He's wonderful in every aspect. He turned us from darkness to light. Oh, my. Yeah, somebody said it the other day, and I like the example. He says, the death of Jesus on the cross, it was like Jonah in the boat. They were all going to perish. And Jonah, in the midst of that storm, when the waves and the billows and the wind, it was the wrath of God was against them. Jonah said, take me, throw me out. And the Bible says that sea that was torn by the tempest, you know, the tempestuous winds of the sea, as soon as he was thrown into the sea, they became perfectly calm. Because the wrath and the judgment of God had been met. That was a type of Christ, friends. He was in the midst of the tempest on the cross. It went dark in the midst of the day. He was tossed about, but as soon as he died, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Immediately peace. You have peace with God. I lie in my bed tonight with peace inside of my soul. I fear not death. I fear not hell. I fear not the grave. Why? Because he's wonderful. Because his death was wonderful. And he revealed even whatever measure it was to me, the power of his death, and that brought me from death to life. That brought me from darkness to light. Oh, friends, may the Lord grant us a greater experience of the essence of this name, wonderful, as we do it this Christmas. Let's finish off. So that's why Isaiah, when he caught the mind of the Lord, he said he's wonderful. He was wonderful in heaven. Yeah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was the most treasured and precious in heaven. He was wonderful to the angels. Friends, the angels bow down and worship. And he's been wonderful to every single one of the redeemed through the ages. That's one thing that every one of the elect has in common. Jesus to them is wonderful. I remember reading when Charles Spurgeon once went to a man that had been old, was an old saint. He was lying on his deathbed. I think he had dementia and he couldn't recognize people anymore. And Spurgeon came and said, look, I'm Pastor Spurgeon. And the man says, I don't know you. And then he said, but do you know Jesus? And he nodded his head. He says, I know him. Friends, that's how wonderful knowing Jesus is. Oh, friends, even when your mortal understanding, your mortal brain passes away, but inside of your soul, there'll be a witness that is wonderful. Yes, I know him. Oh, friends, is he wonderful to you? Is Jesus wonderful to you this Christmas? If it's not wonderful to you, my friend, I'm going to ask you why. I'm going to put you in the dock and say you are guilty of a crime here. Because here is the most wonderful one. He does everything wonderful. Has he not been wonderful to you? When I was in the world, I remember once I so nearly died, but the Lord spared my life. When I look back, I would have died. I would have perished. I was in my sin. But he's wonderful, friends. And I'm sure you can look inside of your life and see where you should have perished. Like that sister who fell in the river and her skirt got caught around her. She should have died in the river. But because she was a child of God, God couldn't take her until she was ready. That's how wonderful that he is. Friends, is he not wonderful to you? If he's not wonderful to you, I'm asking you, why is he not wonderful to you? What has he done wrong to you? Nothing. In everything, he does it well. Everything he does is wonderful. Why don't you just let him come in? Why not just open that door to him this Christmas and say, Jesus? I know Paul was willing to travel, get beaten by rods, shipwreck, a night and a day in the deep, be in peril of thieves and peril among false brethren, labored and was willing to give his life up. There must be something wonderful about you. There was Peter willing to be crucified, said, don't crucify me like my Lord, crucify me upside down, willing to shed his blood. Friends, and all those disciples, except for John and Patmos, all of them were willing to seal their testimony with their blood. Why? Because they'd found everything about Jesus was wonderful. And I bring it to you now. What think ye of Christ this Christmas? Maybe as we bow our heads. Let's bow our heads down. Friends, that first Christmas, he was wonderful to the Magi. He was so wonderful when he broke forth. The simplicity of that revelation, that star of wonder that led them to this one who was born, the son that was given, who was called Wonderful. He was so wonderful that they left everything to find him and worship him. He was wonderful to the shepherds. Oh, friends, he transformed their lives just with one visitation, revelation of the wonders of this one that was born. He was wonderful to Mary. He was wonderful to Joseph. He was wonderful to Zacharias and Elizabeth that first Christmas. He was wonderful to Simeon. He was wonderful to Anna. Why not ask the Lord yourself and say, Lord, if you gave those people an experience of your wonder, if you revealed yourself and so wonderful to them, please, won't you be wonderful to me? Reveal your wonder to me that I might worship you this Christmas the way they worshiped you that Christmas. If that's your desire, why not raise up your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, reveal your wonders. Reveal your glory to me. Lord, this world is, it's just vain, Lord. It just doesn't satisfy. My soul is searching for something, and I know that only Jesus, only that which is truly wonderful can satisfy this immortal soul that is inside of me. Oh, friends, and may the Lord grant us as we get into this Christmas, a season, a real Christmas experience once again, the way that God met his people the first Christmas. It may be so simple in its unfolding, but it'll be profound in the impact inside of your soul. May it be so is our desire. Let's ask for a fresh revelation of him. Let's bring Christ back into Christmas once again, the glory and the wonder. Let's pray. Father, we bring this word to you because, Jesus, we know that you're wonderful, Lord, and we just testify of your wonders, Lord. We testify of your goodness and your glory. And Lord, we just pray for each and every one of us as individuals. We would desire a fresh revelation of the King and his glory. Lord, that you would anoint our eyes with eyesalve. That, Lord, we may worship you, Lord. That we may do, Lord, as we see all these ones, these many witnesses before us, Lord. Father, who traversed hill and mountain, Lord, because of the wonders of what you had shone inside of the experience, because they wanted to find where you were so they could worship you. Father, we do not need to travel here or travel there. Father, just in the simplicity of a contrite heart, just in the simplicity of a seeking soul, we can find you now where we are. So, Lord, reveal yourself to us. Them that do not know you, Lord. I pray at this Christmas, Lord, as the prophet said, they'll be so ashamed of themselves because of the wonders of who you are and what you've done for them, that they'll be ashamed of themselves and repent of their unbelief and come to you and worship you in this season as well. May you bless your people, each and every one. Bless each hand that has been raised. Lord, in your precious name, we bless them and give them the desires of their heart. And Father, bless us this night. Continue to bless us in worship, and you lead us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you, saints. Let's hand back over to Brother Vlad, if you would lead us in about two or three songs. And we ask Brother Max, if you would please, Brother, close for us in a word of prayer. And God bless you richly, saints. Have a wonderful Christmas. Wishing you a real, true, wondrous Christmas in Christ Jesus. You and your family, happy Christmas, and God bless you.
Can you put camera up?
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? I have seen his heaven, what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful, 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 wonderful? Jesus is to me answer, Lord, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus said, vanishes my sadness, guilt is gone, peace is mine, tastes like to a river. Jesus is a wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is in me, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed in the book of heaven. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Living here, with my Lord, in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change is wrought in my lovely station, since my soul has received full and praise salvation. Wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is in me, saving me, keeping me from sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, meaning on the earth, on the everlasting God. This is my living on the everlasting God. Living, safe and secure from all leaning on the everlasting God. Oh, how sweet to walk in this hill remaining on the everlasting God. Oh, how bright the path looks from day to day, leaning on the everlasting God. Leading, safe and secure from all alarm. Leading on the everlasting path. What have I to dread? I to fear, leaning on the everlasting God. I have blessed peace with my Lord on me, leaning on the everlasting God. Leaning, safe and secure for all our leaning on the everlasting
Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. Grace has come our way, such a wondrous way, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have given us a name, a wondrous name. Oh, Lord, we thank you. A name in it is eternal life, a name by which all things were made, a name, oh, by which all things are possible, oh, a name that the heavens and the earth, every knee, when that name, that wondrous name is mentioned, every knee has to bow. Oh, a name, the Lord, when it's mentioned, all sickness, disease, works of the enemy, Satan has to flee. Oh, Lord, we thank you. The sweetest name ever. Lord, we thank you, the Lord Jesus. You have made us, Lord, even to hunger and thirst after such a wondrous name, Lord. Father, our humble desire, the Lord, you continue, Lord Jesus, to reveal your wondrous nature unto us, your wondrous works. The Lord Jesus, it will inspire us, Lord, that it will quicken us, that very name, that wondrous name, Lord, it will be our own nature also, Lord. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord, for revealing this wondrous name, Lord, unto us, giving us such a name by which, Lord, we can live unto eternal life. Oh, blessed be thy name, Lord. Father, we want to thank you for the years so far, the Lord, where we are today, it has to take that name. Whatever we do, it has been always that name. Oh, what a wondrous name. Lord, we thank you for our pastor, Lord, that you have used, Lord, tonight, oh, to bring such a wondrous message, Lord, unto us. Oh, a word that, Lord Jesus, is going to be, oh, Lord, a real banner unto us. As even, oh, God, we are looking forward, oh, Lord, to a new year, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your wondrous name. Lord, we want to remember, oh, Lord Jesus, our children, Lord, into your name. That wondrous name. We want to commit them, Lord, under that wondrous name. The Lord, your hands will be upon them, oh God. Father, let them grow, Lord Jesus. Oh, that, Father, their very life will be lost in that wondrous name. Oh, that's our desire, oh God. Father, we thank you, we bless you. And the Lord, we want to commit the rest of the week that is before us, Lord, before the year ends, into your hands. Even come next Sunday, Lord, the beginning of another week, the last week of the year, oh God. Father, we want to commit, Lord, our meeting into your hands. The Lord, once again, when we meet, Lord, we will hear nothing but about that wondrous name. We bless you, Lord Jesus. And we want to commit, Lord, the night now into your hands. The Lord, the omnipresent God, you sweep over every home tonight, Lord. Let us feel your wondrous presence, oh God, overshadowing us, Lord Jesus, even whilst, Lord, we retire into our closets, Lord God. Father, oh, bring us, Lord, dreams, oh, of your wondrous works, God, dreams of your wondrous name, dreams of your wondrous nature. The Lord, he will wake up with the rising of the sun. Oh, if you tarry, Lord, that we will continue in nothing but, Lord, that wondrous name. Father, help us, Lord, that our walk, our action, our talk, everything, Lord, will be, Lord, backed by that wondrous name. We thank you, we bless you, we give all glory to you. In that wondrous name, Lord, we say thank you. Bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Max. God bless, Brother Vlad. Thank you for the song worship, Brother. It was a wonderful time. God bless each and everyone. Meet you on Sunday or meet you on Zoom, Saints. Have a good night and happy Christmas.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Wonderful service. Good night. Shalom.
God bless you, Brother George.
Thank you, Brother Georgie. How are you feeling, Brother Georgie?
God bless you all.
I'm feeling... After the sermon, I feel good, but I was feeling good anyway. But that was Brother Nat answered a lot of you answered Brother Nat's questions. Wow, it's amazing. I'll text you later.
Okay. Hallelujah, Brother Nat. God bless.
God bless you, saints. Good night. Have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you.
Same to you, bro. Each and everyone.
Hi, saints. Thank you,
Pastor. We meet on Sunday, Lord willing.
Yes, bro. God bless.
Hallelujah.
Don't eat too much turkey.
God bless. Thank you, sir.
God bless.
Robert, brother.
God bless, by Ken.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you.
Have a lovely Christmas. Yeah.
Same to you.
Have a wonderful brother day. Ken, God bless you.
Amen. Thank you very much.
God bless each one.
All right.